Welcome to another class on English etymology. And we're not only going to study English etymology, it's going to be Greek and Hebrew and Latin and German, Russian, just a little bit of everything. One of my teachers, my father in the faith, Dr. Travis Hubbard, H.T. Hubbard, Harold Travis Hubbard, used to say to all the students, "Study words, young man, study words." And he meant it. We preach the gospel, and we need it facilitated in such a way as that people will understand what we're saying. And we need to speak it in a way that will best transfer knowledge and the work of the Holy Spirit through these things. Brother Hubbard, I don't know whether he ever got up and spoke, had one message that he didn't talk about language. He was a Greek and Hebrew scholar, a Latin scholar. He was an English scholar. And he taught the Bible. He taught in the seminary, I think, for 68 years before he was not able to teach anymore because of dementia. Even to the very last of his life, when I talked to him after he wasn't teaching, he'd say, "Brother James," he said, "study words, young man, study words. Now, remember to study words." I know that if anyone was ever in his class, they will, when the title of these messages, the first message was, "Study words, young man, study words," they knew where that came from. It came from him. Now, let's talk about the science of language. Marilyn wanted to know how to spell etymology the other day, and it came from two Greek words. Remember, I told you legal language comes from Latin because of the Catholic Church, and by the time 500 or 600 AD, they had banned all of the original Greek Bibles and tried to burn them up, and by over here in 1200 and... where is it? 1229 A.D., the Bible was completely forbidden to have any page of the Bible. Because the Catholic Church does not preach the Bible. Everything that they teach and indoctrinate and brainwash people with is anti-God and anti-Bible. So they tried to do away the Bible. Now, the Greek words that make up etymology are etmos in Greek and logos. Etmos means real, genuine, or true. Etmos and logos. What it means is the real, genuine study of a word. Where did it really come from? The science of the history of the origin of words. Now, there are different words that in the Old English language, the King James Bible was written in Old English. It was written for the Church of England, by the way. It wasn't written for Baptists. It wasn't written for Catholics. The King James Bible was written against Baptists to compete with them, because the Catholics, they knew if anybody had a Bible, if a Catholic ever got a Bible in his hands, he started reading the Bible, he wouldn't be a Catholic anymore. But the Church of England had to compete against the Baptists, because the Baptists preached the Bible. So they put a Bible in the people's hands, but they changed the meaning of words. They changed the meaning of words, like the word baptism, like the word church. The word baptism comes from the word bapto in Greek, which means to immerse, to dip, to put under, to plunge. Now, if God wanted to sprinkle you, he would have used the word rontizo. If he wanted them to pour water on you or whatever, it would have been the word nipto in Greek. But the word is baptizo, and they had a council in the King James translators with the King of England, and they said, "What are we going to do? If we were trying to translate the word immerse or to plunge, they will know that we are doing the wrong thing. The Baptists will say, well, see there, because they're not doing it. Well, he said, don't translate it all, just transliterate it. Just say baptized, so they won't know. And the word church, the Baptist has always taught that there's separation of church and state, and each church is an independent, called out body of believers, which the word ecclesia means. In Spanish, it's ecclesia. Well, this word in Greek is kirk, or not Greek, but German is kirk. But all the other languages bring it into the idea of a one big body. The church is not a universal body of believers. The church is a local, visible body of believers. So those two things, we'll just look at those two for the moment. The word ecclesia means one's called out. The word church should mean one's called out. It should mean assembly. One thing that they may have got God wrong and everything else wrong, but the Jehovah's Witnesses got their assembly halls right. The word church means assembly. Even though they're wrong on all of the points, they got that one right. Now, another old English word that we have lost the meaning of is the word steward. Steward. And that comes from two words, sty and ward. Sty and ward. Sty means a pen. A pigsty. You go, I've heard of the old term, their house was like a pigsty. It was all filthy. And the word steward means a ward is someone that takes advantage, that takes charge of something. A sty ward or a steward is somebody that literally that used to watch over the king's livestock. They were a ward, they were a caretaker of the king's livestock, sty ward, steward. And so we are stewards of God's word. So we watch over what God has given us to do, his property. And his property is you and me. Every time God saves a person, that person is God's property. Another little word that I'm going to look at in the beginning is ungodly. Ungodly. And Brother Hubbard, and I say use the term, I borrowed it from him, it's ungodly buzzards. Ungodly. The word God, we know what God means, okay? That's Dios, Theos in Greek, Dios in Latin, Gott in German. We look at the word ungodly. So the root of that word is God. And then we have an adverb on the back of it, which is an L-Y, and then we have something, a negative, on the front of it, which means not. And the L-Y means actively related to. So when a person is ungodly, that means they're not related to God. Actively not related to God. Let's look at some words now from this Swinton's Word Analysis, a book that I was taught more than 50 years ago by Brother Travis Hubbard, Dr. Travis Hubbard, I really should say. We have prefixes, we have suffixes, and we have roots. So let's look at just prefixes for a minute, okay? That's something that goes for a word. Now we saw the word ungodly, we saw the word styward, didn't we? Now let's look at some of the prefixes that we might be acquainted with, but we don't know their prefixes. And one of them is A. One of them is ab, A-B, and the other word is abs, A-B-S. That word means from. So, let's look at, see some words are made up with this from preposition on the front of it. From is a preposition, basically. In Greek, there are many prepositions. In English, there are many prepositions. The English language is not near as strong as the Greek language or the Latin or German. The Latin and German and Greek, especially Greek is probably the most fascinating, the most perfect language that's ever been created, and that's what God put his word in. So we have ab, we have a, and we have abs. So let's look at some of the words. Have you ever heard of the word avert? Avert, A-V-E-R-T. Now the word avert means to turn from. To turn from. The word vert means to turn. So you avert your eyes from somebody because you don't want to look at them. You're turning from them. Okay? You're turning from them. So avert means to turn away from. The word absolve. Absolve means to release from. The word solve there, solve it, it means to release from. To release from. Absolve means to release from. When Jesus Christ saves us, he absolves us from all our sins. He washes away our sins. He looses them away. He releases them from us. When you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul, repenting of your sins and trusting in him, believing that he is God the Son, that he died on the cross of Calvary, you are absolved. The word absolve, now the ED on the end of it means it's completed action. You're absolved from all of those sins, okay? Now the word abstain. The word abstain, the word stain means to hold. To hold. Now the word abstain means to hold away from. It means to hold from. To hold away. When you abstain from something, you don't do it. You don't go near it. You just don't do it. You abstain from chocolate, Marilyn. The doctor told you you had to abstain from chocolate and coffee and tea, didn't he? You didn't like that. But if you're going to stay alive, you got to abstain from those things. Now let's go back to another thing now. Now we have changes for euphony. We have A and AC. We have AF. We have AG. We have AL, AN, AP, and AR, and AS. These changes, sometimes a word or letter changes for euphony. And euphony means good sound. Two Greek words, phoné and eu, which means good. Remember I told you that all scientific language comes from Greek. And the legal languages come from Latin. Well, the study of the English language is a science. It is a scientific thing. Remember? Etymos. The true science, the true science or etymology of a word is the true science, the true origin of that. When you take a solution and you reduce it down to where the basic elements of that solution, you find out what's in it. You do that. I remember a few years ago, 10 years ago actually, I was dying with heart problems and shaking really bad, and the doctors didn't know what was going wrong with me, and they found out, so they took my blood and took a blood test and found out that I had been poisoned with mercury and arsenic. They took and concentrated my blood and went down and found out what was in it, okay? What was in it. Now let's, like the trunk of a tree is a root word. Okay? The trunk of a tree is a root word, and then the other things are like the limbs and branches of the tree that you add to that word. You add some before and some after. All right? So the word agree. The word agree there means pleasing. Agree means to please. When you agree with somebody, you're pleased to do it. You agree, then you're pleased to agree with them. You're pleased to do this. You're pleased to see this. You're pleased to hear it. You agree with it. If you don't agree with something, disagree. What does that mean? Disagree. You don't want it. You disagree. You do not agree. You're not pleased with it. You disagree. You're not pleased with it. You disagreed. You have not been pleased with it. If you agree or agreed, do you see how it is? Now let's go on a little bit. Word a seed. A seed. A word A-C and then C-E-D-E. We have two words make one. A seed. And that word, a seed, comes from cedere, the Latin word cedere, and that means to yield. Cedere, yield. And it means, a seed means to yield to. Now remember, we have A, A-C, A-F, A-G, A-L, A-N, A-P, A-R, and A-S. These are the prefixes we're studying. So when you seed, you yield to it. Now the word affix. Fix means what? You fix means you place it in a stationary way. You fix something. You fix it. You put it in a stationary place. And when you affix something, it means to fasten to. The word fix means to fasten. And the word to affix means to fasten it to. To fasten to it. Now, in our cars, we have decals that are fastened, affixed to things. On our dashes, we see that. We have labels and things that are affixed to the outside of it. The label says maybe say Ford or Chevrolet or Toyota or whatever, Honda. Those are things that are affixed to that car. That means to fix to. Now we have the word aggrieve. The word aggrieve. Now that's an Anglo-Saxon word, by the way, aggrieve. And this Anglo-Saxon word, aggrieve, it's got an A-G in front of it and then a G-R-I-V-E. And sometimes you have to drop a word for euphony. And the spelling. We didn't go through the spelling of words. I figured you learned that in school, maybe. Maybe you did. But I doubt very seriously if you studied this, unless you took English etymology, or unless you studied a foreign language. You never understand English until you study another language. So we're studying another language in all reality. We're studying how the English language is made, and it's made up of other languages. So the word aggrieve means to give pain to. The word grieve, when you grieve, you're in pain. Sometimes when you lose somebody that's very close to you, when your husband or your wife dies, or your mother dies, or your brother or sister dies, you grieve. Now, the word aggrieve here, again, that's an Anglo-Saxon word. It means to give pain to, aggrieve. When somebody hurts you, they aggrieve you. They hurt you. They cause you pain. The word ally. A-L and L-Y. A-L and L-Y. An ally. A-L means to, remember, and then lay, L-Y here, is a root of the word, which means to bind to. An ally is, we have the NATO alliance, we have different kind of alliances throughout the world. We have people that join clubs and societies, and they ally with them. They are bound to them, they bind to them. When you go into the army or the navy or the air force or whatever, you become an ally. You bind yourself to them. When you sign a contract, you're aligning with what the contract says. The word annex now. The word annex. To tieto. The word annex. It means to tie. Next means to tie. And annex means to tie to. When you annex a state, or when you annex a county, or when you annex a nation into your nation, that they are tied to you. tied to that nation. That means to annex. Sometimes county land is annexed into the city. What does that mean? It's tied to the city. Now it's no longer county, it's in the city. Now let's look at the word append. Append. The word pinned means to hang. Append means to hang. Appendage means something that's hanging around. Sometimes you get a wart or mole or something and it hangs there. That's an appendage, okay? The word append means to hang to. App on the front of it. Now you dropped one T, or one P that is, and it's just append. Not A-P-P-E-N-D, but A-P-E-N-D. That means to hang to. And we'll study suffixes later. You're enjoying this a little bit? You learning something? You didn't learn this in school, did you, Marilyn? You didn't learn this in school, did you? Okay. Now the word arrive. The word arrive. Or the word arrive, we have the AR in front, which means to. And then riv from river A. Okay. And that word riv there means to reach. When you arrive something, you have arriven, you have gone to that point. You arrive there. You're on your way to Old River from Fish Lake Valley, and when you get to Old River, it means you have arrived. Now the word ascent. Word ascent. Word sent, S-E-N-T, it means to yield. The root of that means to yield. Ascent. And that means to yield to. When you assent to something, when you agree to something, you have yielded to it. When somebody writes a contract and you assent to that contract, you have yielded to that contract and you have fixed your signature on there. Onomate. And then we have the word assemble. That symbol comes sembre. And assemble means what? To go together. To go together. Let's go down and look at some more words. We have a word AM. We have the word AMB. We have the word ANTE. We have the word ANTI. We have the word BY. We have the word BIS. And we have the word SUCRUM. And we have the word SARCU. These are some prefixes. Now, the word AM and AMB means around, around. The word anti and ante and anti means before or against. The word by and bis means to or twice. And the word circum and circu mean around. Now, let's look at some things. The word amputate, that's actually a word, pute there means to cut. A-T-E means the act of it, or the state of being cut. And we have the word amputate. When you amputate a leg or an arm or something, in the Civil War, when somebody they got shot in the leg or something, if the bone was broken, they didn't try to fix the bone, they just cut the leg off. They amputated it. That means they cut around. They cut around and then they sawed the bone. Amputate means to cut around. And the word ambient now. Ambient. Now, we're going to combine two words here. We're going to look at two different words. We have the word biscuit, don't we? Biscuit? Biscuit comes from two words. Bis and cuire, or cuit. And it means twice cooked. Bis, two times cooked. Now, the word ambient. Back in the Bible days, they had very few ambient ovens. They had very few ambient ovens. So what does ambient mean? Ambient means to go around. Ambe, ambere, int. It means to go around, surround. When you have something ambient, it surrounds. Now, Marilyn, a long time ago, we got married about 25 years ago. I always cooked on a wood stove, didn't I? You didn't want a wood stove in the house, Anna, because you thought it smoked the house up and all that kind of stuff, so I didn't have a wood stove in the house. But when I came up here close to 10 years ago now, I brought my wood-burning cook stove that I had for over 50 years. I hooked it up out there in the little cabin, and I cooked on that wood stove, and the food was beautiful, wasn't it? The biscuits were crispy. The ambient heat around them was unbelievable. Now, a long time ago, even the Jews, when they talk about a loaf of bread, it was a tortilla. Basically a tortilla that had flip it over. All right? They flipped it over. And one time Jacob said that one of his sons was a cake half turned, was soft in the head, soft in the top. Okay? It was not turned. You had to take a tortilla and you had to turn it over. You cook one side like a pancake and you turn it over. That's the way loaves of bread were back then. Now, since they had wood-burning cook stoves and ovens, sometimes they had ovens, you know, they would build ovens out of rocks and things up here in the mountains. The Basque sheep herders come up here, and they would build a rock oven so they could cook their sheep herder bread. They lived off that sheep herder bread and wine and cheese. Now, you can't cook a real loaf of bread unless you have an ambient oven. Now, I have four wood-burning stoves by the name of Kalamazoo. And Kalamazoo had an advertising slogan, Kalamazoo direct to you, because it was a mail order. You could go in a store and look at one, but they would mail it to you. Kalamazoo direct to you. And they had Kalamazoo stove sales and go to different people's houses and everything. And their idea was, they said, we have an oven floating in flames. I've got one out there that's hot right now. We get some of these old butchered laying hens, and I mean to tell you what, they're almost uncookable, aren't they, Marilyn? You try to cook them and pressure cook them and everything else, but you put them in a covered dish, and you put them in that wood-burning cook stove, and the ambient heat around that thing will cook them thoroughly in every direction. Now, the stove, if you can imagine this, to have an ambient heat, first off, all a wood-burning cook stove, you've got a fire box like that. And here's the top of the stove. When you're going to start a little fire or something that cook on top of the flames, just go up here and go over the top of the stove and then go out the back of the stove and up the chimney. But when you want the oven to do the work, you shut that off, and the flames have to go all the way down over here, then they have to go down, they have to go below the oven, and then they go out, and the oven is totally floating in flames. That's what you call ambient heat. We learned about cooking tonight, didn't we? Just a little bit about cooking. If you're going to cook a real loaf of bread, that's a loaf of bread, you've got to have an ambient oven. Ambient. Now let's look at the word antecedent. Antecedent means remember the word ante means against or before, and so we have antecedent, and here we have, it goes from the Latin word sedere, and it means to go before. An antecedent means something that goes before in a sentence, or an antecedent in any way is something that goes before. Now we have the word anticipate. Anticipate. Anticipate means to go against or to go before. Anticipate. What do you do when you anticipate something? You haven't got there yet. You anticipate what's going to happen. You're meeting your boyfriend or girlfriend, and you're thinking about them. Do they really like me a lot? And you're anticipating what they're going to say to you and what you're going to say to them. And maybe she or he will say, you know what? How about getting married? we like each other, we like all this kind of stuff. I've been anticipating becoming a lifelong friend and companion with you. Anticipate. When you're going to go to court, you anticipate what the lawyer is going to say or whatever. You're going to anticipate how it's going to happen, what's going to take, it means to take before. Anticipate. Then we come to the word bis and circum and circu. And we already looked at the word biscuit, didn't we? What does that mean? Twice cooked. It comes to the word cure, or cuit, or cue, twice cooked. A biscuit, the biscuits in a wood-burning cook stove, what are they like, Marilyn? They're absolutely crispy all the way around, aren't they? Just crispy, just the same all the way around. A biscuit is twice cooked. Jacob said Ephraim was a cake half turned, soft in the head, wasn't cooked all the way through. And we have the word biped now. A biped is what? That means bi means what? Two. And a biped is what? That comes from the word podus in Greek, or pede. It means what? A biped means two-footed. Two-footed. You're a biped. If you're a quadruped, you are four-footed. If you're a biped, you're two-footed. Now, a chicken is a biped, isn't it? A crow is a biped. Humans are bipeds. A kangaroo is a biped, even though it walks with its front feet sometimes. A two-footed animal, biped. We have the word biscuit, of course, and then we have the word circumvate. We have circum and circu, and that means around. Now, circumnavigate, the act of sailing around. Who was the guy that sailed Magellan, that sailed around the world? They said that Columbus sailed to America. He was going to India. And he didn't know that the American cotton was there, and he ran over, and he thought that's why he called us American Indians. He called us Indians. He thought he was in India. He was looking for a short route to India for their spices, etc. But he ran into a whole different continent. Of course, Eric the Red did it long before he did. The Chinese did it many years, even before Christ. They were over here running around, sailing around, circumnavigating. At one time, the Chinese Navy had, this was way back yonder, they had 319 big ships. Big ships, over 300 foot long. 300 foot is 100 yards. These ships were waterproof. They had waterproof and rust-proof nails. They had bellows in them where you could pump the ship out when it got water in it. So-called, everything. They had great big crews. They had 319 of these ships, and it said when they sailed up to a country, they thought that there was an island out there. There were so many ships out there. And they circumnavigated the world just to look around what was there. They said, we don't need anything from any of you, so we won't conquer you. Now the Chinese are doing a whole different world. You know, it's a whole different story now. But back then, they sailed around. They circumnavigated the world just looking around. You know what they wanted from America, by the way? When Columbus came over here, they enslaved the Indians down in Mount Potosi area down there, and they had this mountain of silver. And the Chinese didn't have any precious metals. They didn't have gold, and they didn't have silver. And their coins were on a great big loop. And to go out and buy a loaf of bread or a stove, by the way, they invented the cast iron stoves. They had piped natural gas. They had all kinds of stuff back in their time. They had money. And this money, these printed coins, were made out of brass and tin. And it took so much of that to take with you. It was so heavy that they needed silver and they needed gold that was worth much more. A silver dollar, so to speak, would be more than 50 pounds of brass or whatever. They circumnavigated the world and they found one thing they needed from the rest of the world. They needed gold and silver. So they dealt with Spain, etc. So you get a little history with this also. A circuit. Remember they used to have circuit riding Methodist preachers on a mule? And they had circuit riding judges. They had circuit riding lawyers. They had circuit riding preachers. One time I was pastoring this church here, and I was pastoring a church in Tehachapi also, and so I had a little circuit. I went from there to here, and there to here, and there to here. That was my circuit. And the circuit, it means, the word it there, it means to go. It, to go. And circuit means to go around. Now, what kind of circuits do we have? To go around. What, in your life, what kind of circuits are there? If you have a refrigerator, it has a compressor, and it sends the whatever is going through there. It used to be ammonia, but now they got all kinds of stuff, even propane. And that circuit, the propane goes in a circuit around your whole refrigerator and comes back and goes around and around and around. And that way you have a circuit, and it makes your refrigerator cold. We have lights in here. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lights in this room so you can see me against this wall. And every one of those lights, there is a circuit. And you flip the switch on, and that circuit electrically goes around, it goes through there and lights it up and then goes back out. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop in this house. You don't use it up. You borrow it, and it goes to the circuit in your yard and goes to somebody else's yard. It's a constant circuit. Now, in your cars, you have a transmission. And that's another word. But in that transmission, if it is an automatic transmission, there's a circuit for the fluid goes through from your torque converter through the transmission, and it makes the car move. Hydraulics. There's a lot of hydraulics on all kinds of stuff now, just about everything. And in hydraulics, you got a circuit just like electricity. The oil starts here through a pump and goes through and does whatever it wants to, runs through a motor or whatever, and comes back into the container. You don't use the oil up or the hydraulic fluid up. It goes through a circuit. It goes around. It has a journey around. It journeys around. These are some of the things, just some of the words. We'll stop right there for tonight. I think that's good enough for this message. I don't want to wear people out. I hope that you're learning the language that you speak. Maybe you speak several languages, but this language, you'll know where it came from. You'll know the origin of it. You'll know the science of it, the etymology, the atmos logos, the scientific study of words and language. You might not understand how your oven works now. You might understand how your lights work now a little bit, how your air conditioner works, the same thing. Your transmission in your car, all of these different things, we see the words that make up those circuits. Our Father, we send this message out that people might learn from it. I brought in the Bible also in here, your truths, and the language which people use here in this country to study your word. And even the Greek and the Hebrew origin of these words. Please use this for your honor and glory and help build up your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Please forgive me where I failed you. Amen.